Jesse.
Love you, brother.
I like short and sweet. I don't know if Jesse's sweet, but that was short and sweet. The sermon's not going to be short and sweet. Somebody say amen. You heard that, my man, in the back. And I love you guys. Hunt Springs Baptist Church, special to my heart. I think I was talking in the back. It's been a year, and Pastor Wes texted me this past Tuesday and said he was sick and was wondering if we could come by and be here this morning. And thank the Lord we were available. And we love this church, and a lot of churches we go to one time and they don't ask us back for whatever reason. And but you guys, I don't know if you're crazy or what's going on, but we've been here quite a few times for over the, you know, we started our evangelistic ministry 5 years ago, and I know we were here for a revival, and we love to come to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but I love your pastor. Do you love your pastor? I love Pastor Wes, number one, because he's a praying man. Every time I talk to him, I know he's busy. I know he's got a lot going on, but he always pauses to pray. And I know he prays for you. And I know you've been praying for him. Him and his wife have been sick. And regardless of the circumstances, we're honored to be here today. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. And, you know, every day is Resurrection Sunday. Last week was Easter, right? Am I right? And I'm an evangelist. I never know what day it is. That's the truth. And but every day is Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. Somebody say indeed. And I don't know about you, but I'm so excited. I got my wife with me here today. And little Casey. And not my better half, my better 99%. Amen. You know, it's funny, a lot of churches we do go back to at least one time a year, and every year I go back, I have another baby, you know? And so it's like, yeah, here's victory, here's glory. Now meet baby Hyatt. And I think he was here last year, though. He was about a month old last time we were here, and they're in the back. But next year, when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and prophesy this morning, all right? We're not going to have another baby. We're going to have another book. Somebody say amen. And I'm writing my second book. I got a few copies of my first book. It's in the foyer. It's a devotional. But we're in the process of writing our second book. It's going to be The God of Second Chances. My struggle, my story, my Savior. And I turn 40 next year, so I'm hoping to release it by my 40th birthday. And so if we have another baby, then it is what it is. But we're striving for our next book. Somebody say amen. Is everybody okay today? Can we have some fun? And I just want to have some fun. We really do love you guys, and it's good to have Lauren and some of you friendly faces. I know we got a few visitors here today, and just want to say welcome. My name is Chance. It's my lovely wife, Casey. We're in full-time evangelistic ministry, and we just moved into a motorhome. If you didn't know, we've been praying about transitioning as a ministry, and the Lord said, buy a motorhome. It took us about a year to pray that thing through, to let go of our home and grab a hold of the motorhome, you know? And so this past, was it February? The very beginning of February, I flew to Nebraska and bought a 40-foot motorhome, drove it home 21 hours. I'll never forget when I pulled that thing in the driveway. It barely fit, you know. And the Lord said, buy the motorhome and sell the house. And I'm honored to say that our house sold this week. Come on, somebody. And it's really what I want to talk about here today is hearing and obeying the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that because we've been on this journey over the past 5 years. God said go. Keeps it real simple for me. 2/3 of God's name, okay? I'm from Siler City. He said go. And I said, yes, sir. And we took a step out on faith 5 years ago on one word. He said, come. And we hadn't been walking on the waters. We've been walking on the word. Come on, somebody. From the very beginning, we took a step of faith. And it's just been amazing the doors and the opportunities that God has opened for us over the past 5 years. And so we said yes. Somebody say yes. One little yes can change your life forever. I said yes. We said yes. And we've just been walking with the hand of God, you know. And He's held us up by faith. And, you know, it's been wild. We bought the motor home. God said sell the house. Instead of using a realtor, we stuck a for sale sign by owner in the front yard. It showed 3 times in 3 weeks. And we got our little family around. We're trying to teach them to pray. Even little Hyatt had his hand on the sign. Victory and glory. And Casey and I, we laid our hands on that sign. And we didn't ask God to sell the house. We asked God to sell the house to the right person. We wanted the right person to buy it. We loved that house. We bought it. We fixed it up. You know, it was a foreclosed home. And we put a lot of sweat into that house. God said sell it, so we laid our hands on the sign. All this is free. Is everybody okay? And we laid our little, I took a picture of them little kids. There they are. We laid our hands on that sign. We said, God, send the right person. See, they're happy. Y'all come back now, you hear? And we asked God to sell it to the right person. The phone rang. Casey was on the phone. And when she hung up, I said, babe, the Lord said, they're the people that's going to buy the house. Little young couple, they called back and said, we want to pay cash. Come on, somebody. They said, we want to pay cash for your house. Matter of fact, grandma's got the cash. She's going to pay cash and we're going to pay grandma back. Come on. Little young couple, they're about to get married. It's going to be their first home, and they're paying cash. So we close in 3 weeks. Come on, it's all right. A little happy clappy, a little happy clappy, a little golf clap. We prayed. God sent the right people, and it's closing in 3 weeks. And it just blows my mind when you listen to the Lord, you know. It makes life so much easier. And that's what I want to talk to you today, really briefly. If you've got a copy of a Bible, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9. I just want to testify today. God has been good to me and my family, and I know He has been good to you. Genesis in the beginning. Exodus. The way out. You know, Leviticus, the law. Numbers, it means in the desert. Deuteronomy means the second law. Come on, we're going to lay down the law today. If you can stand up for the honoring of God's word here today in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. I want to read a very famous passage of Scripture here today and just talk about it really briefly, because I believe this word is going to bring you out of the desert. Deuteronomy, the second law, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. The Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. Somebody say, talk about them. That's what we're going to do today. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, talk about them. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Meaning, don't forget about them. Write them on the door frames. Some of you have done that. Of your houses and your gates. And I want to read the next couple of verses because I like them. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, I highlighted this, verse 12, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of a land of slavery, and into the promised land. Today I want to talk to you about the secret of the Shema. Real simple. The secret of the Shema. I'm going to explain myself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for this church, our family, our friends. God, we're honored to stand in your presence today. We pray specifically for Pastor Wes and his wife. We pray that you would heal them, set them free from their infirmity in Jesus' name. And for the sake of our time here today, Lord, I pray that you would open up our ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us in this hour, both individually and corporately, for your glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated today in the presence of the Lord. Let's unpack this passage really quick. I promise we won't be here long. According to rabbinical teaching, this is the climax. The few verses that we just read is the climax of the Torah. The Torah, otherwise known as the Pentateuch. Penta means five. The first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. When these words were written, they were written by the hand of Moses up under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And for an Orthodox Jew, this is the most read and recited passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. They call it the Shema. In fact, Jewish people, even today, pray these few verses, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. They pray this prayer repetitiously three times a day. Four times a day on the Sabbath, and five times a day for the seven appointed feasts that God commanded them to celebrate in the Old Testament. So every Jew, they know this passage of Scripture from really the time that they were born to the time that they die. They pray this one prayer that we just read over and over and over again, meaning that this passage is very important to God. And you know that Jesus quoted this Old Testament passage in the New Testament. He said, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. A Pharisee asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he pointed to Deuteronomy chapter 6. For a Hebrew, these verses are of utmost importance. And so why do we honor these words? I'm so glad you asked, because the Shema became a tradition because it was the centerpiece or the focal point of Moses' last speech to the Israelites right before he passed away. So Moses was standing on Mount Nebo. It's in Jordan, right outside the capital city, Amman. And he was looking over the Jordan River Valley. And he was looking at probably 3 million Israelites. And he spoke this blessing over the people. And he highlighted these few verses. So when the Israelites crossed the Jordan River and finally possessed the promised land, they began to pray this one prayer over and over and over again. So I'm laying a foundation for you today because my message is really, really simple. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 starts with one word, and that one word is Shema. Somebody say Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word, and it simply means to hear. When it's translated into the English language, it means pay attention, listen up, hear ye, what was God trying to say to his people from the very beginning? He was saying, if you pay attention to me, you will not only get life, but you will get life more abundantly. See, you believe for eternal life, but you keep believing to receive the abundant life. Somebody say amen. He said, I'm about to give you the law. I'm about to give you some precepts, some promises. And if you will pay attention to me, I will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. From the very beginning, he said, Shema. Somebody say Shema. See, you're learning a little ancient Hebrew this morning, all right? Shema. Pay attention to me. Really, this was a testimony. And I want to take the time right now to say it's important for us to share our story because you have a testimony. God has been good to you and your family, has it not? We're going to have a time of testimony tonight, okay, at 552 Presley Fashie Road in the backyard of my aunt and uncle's house. And just a time just to share. I think a lot of times in life, we sit in a pew and we look forward. But it's very important for us to look at one another, is it not? To sit in a circle, to look at one another, and to share. Take the time to share. This is what the Scripture says. Talk to your sons and daughters. Be sure to share the stories to the next generation, because I don't want people to forget what I have done in their life. Amen? The legacy is kept alive if we take the time to share it. Somebody say amen. So you're invited tonight from 6 to 8, 552 Presley Fashie Road. We're just going to have a time of testimony. Amen? A time to share. A time to take off the veil, if you will, and rend the heart and to share the goodness and the greatness of God. See, Moses knew the voice of God. And God spoke through this prophet to his people and said, Shema, it's important for you to pay attention. Nudge your neighbor and say, pay attention. Come on, somebody. Pay attention. I'm getting ready to close now. That's not true, but I'm getting close. Pay attention. Shema. Moses encountered the voice of God at a burning bush. God got his attention. Amen. And as Moses drew close, you know, to the fire of God, to the flame of God, he heard God's voice. See, God speaks not to be heard. God speaks to be obeyed. Amen? And I thought about this. Even yesterday, my wife and I went to Jordan Lake, and we'd been out of town for a few weeks, and you guys have gotten a lot of rain. And the lake was flooded, just like the Jordan River. They were getting ready to cross the Jordan, and they were going into the promised land. And we stopped at the park, and we ran down there, and they had the yellow, you know, it was blocked off, the tape. And Victory, she got out of the car, and she took off running. And I said, like I say hundreds of times every day, Victory! And what did she do? She kept running. And I said, Victory! And she stopped. And she turned around. See, a lot of times when God speaks to us one time, it brings awareness, does it not? Well, he'll speak and it causes us to stop dead in our tracks. And many times he'll have to speak a second time because God doesn't speak just to be heard. God speaks for us to act. Somebody say amen. She did it again this morning. She woke up this morning. We had breakfast outside of our motor home. We were sitting outside and my aunt's got little dogs. And I knew what she was going to do. She took off running toward the dog lot. And I could just see her opening up that gate and them dogs running everywhere. Me showing up late for church and dog mess all over me. I don't know. I could just see where the story was going. So I said, victory, you know. I'm trying to get her attention. And there is a God. He doesn't have laryngitis. All through the scripture, we see how God speaks to his people, does he not? God is constantly speaking many times. We're just not paying attention. We're doing our own things, just like the Israelites in the wilderness of Numbers. They were, some scholars say, 18-mile journey to go from the Red Sea to the Jordan River. And there they are chasing their tail. They're going around and around and around for 40 years. Could you imagine the frustrations of Moses? Oh my gosh, when are these people going to get it? Meaning, not all movement is progress. They were moving. They were going through the motions, but they weren't going anywhere. God was speaking to them, was he not? He spoke to them and spoke to them, trying to get their attention. The Shema from our Savior, he sits high and looks low. He knows exactly where you are this morning. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly where he wants to take you. God wants to fulfill his will in your life more than you want him to fulfill his will in your life. Amen? God wants to bless you. He wants to pour out his Spirit on you. But many times, we're just not paying attention. And I want to say this. The most important factor to the success of your life, your spiritual life, is not your background. The most important factor is not your bank account. It's not your social class, your education, your wittiness, or your wisdom. The most important factor to your future success is the ability to hear and obey the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Because I can tell you, I'm not the wisest man like Moses and the most humble man like Moses. But listen, I have learned in my life how to hear him. Amen? How to, my knower, you know what I mean? The nod of God. I've learned to steel myself, to find the secret place. One pastor said, the secret is in the secret place. Getting away from the noise of the world, especially when you have a major decision to make in your life. And getting away, just like Jesus, 5 times in the New Testament, the Bible says that he went away to the solitary place to pray. And he steeled himself. So that he could hear his heavenly Father speak. Is anybody getting anything out of it? Just wave at me today. Because this is what God wanted to reiterate to his people. Hear me, hear me. Amen. When Jesus was transfigured into his glorified body on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John was there. And there was a voice from heaven. And God could have said anything in this moment. What did God say? God said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Amen? Listen to him. We got 2 ears and 1 mouth, meaning we should be listening twice as much as we're talking. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we're just doing this, you know? Even in prayer. Ouch. We never give time for God to talk, for God to speak. God wants to speak to you, man. Hey, man, when was the last time you heard from God? Maybe this morning. hopefully right now. God speaks. Don't you love it when God speaks to you? Sometimes He speaks to me and it explodes in my spirit. And I know it's not an audible voice, but it seems audible. It's so loud on the inside. You know, because you can scream in your mind, can you not? Victory asked me this morning, "Daddy, what you doing?" I said, "I'm reading over my sermon for this morning." And she says, "Well, I don't hear you." Ain't that funny? But I was reading right here. But she couldn't interpret that. See, God can speak right here all day, every day. I found a verse this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 23 says, "If anyone has ears." Has anybody got ears? We watched Dumbo two nights ago. We took the kids. I talk about them all the time. I'm so sorry. And we took them to the movie theater for the very first time. Dumbo had them big old, I want spiritual ears like Dumbo, you know. If anyone has ears, let him hear. What was God saying? He was talking about spiritual ears. Everybody's got ears. Let me see. Some of them are covered up this morning. Everybody's got, you know what I mean? But God's not looking for you just to be listening. You know, some people just listen, but they don't obey. I mean, you can be sitting there this morning acting like you are paying attention to me, but you're really not paying attention. I'm not picking on you. You know, it's easy to act like you're really paying attention. But what does God say? He says, pay attention, don't miss this, to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And even more will be added. For whoever has will be given more. What is he talking about? He's talking about hearing the voice of God. Meaning, if God's speaking to you and you never obey, God's going to stop speaking to you. Until something gets your attention. But if you practice, He'll give you more. Oh, Daddy gives you something to do and you go do it. He's going to give you something else to do, is He not? Because God needs some hands and feet on this earth. I don't know about you, but I'm getting happy up here today. I want to obey my Heavenly Father. I want Him to use me to my maximum capacity. That's been my prayer the last year. God, use me. Amen. Give me something to do. Today, I want to be used by You. Amen. I want to be the Jesus, you know, to the people around me. And if He speaks and you obey, He'll give you more to do. Hearing or listening is associated with the ear. It's more than just sound waves flying through the sky. The Hebrew word, shema, means to pay close attention and to obey what God has to say. Just a couple of more verses. The writer of Psalms many times would begin with a plea. Pay attention, shema, hear me, listen to me, O God. Meaning, when we pray to God, He hears us and we want Him to act, do we not? When we shema to God, we're not praying just to be praying. We're praying because we need an answer, amen? We need a help outside of ourselves. And it goes the same way when God speaks to us. Somebody say, God, speak to me. I pray that God would interrupt your regular scheduled program this week, and that God would speak to you in a mighty, mighty way. There's no other Hebrew word for obey. I'm going to give you 3 points because I know you're dying to write them down. This is the secret to the Shema. Real simple. In ancient Hebrew, there is no other word for obey. The same word for hear or listen is the same word for obey. The secret to the Shema, hear and obey, because there is no other way. When God speaks, we should say, yes, sir. 3 points. Why did I take time to tell you this? Number one, God is still speaking. Because He's writing a universal story. This is why I do what I do. It's called the gospel. Amen. God's writing a story. Since the very first time he spoke, he said, light be. Amen. And he still wants light to come to the earth this morning. God is pouring out his spirit in an unprecedented way. The greatest days of the church are not behind us. Come on, somebody. They're before us. I believe that with all of my might, that we are about to experience what some scholars say, a billion soul harvest. Amen. A great end time revival. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. God's writing a story. This is why he's speaking. He sees the whole script, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use me. Number two, you have a story to tell. God's got a story. You've got a story. Amen? I'll never forget my spiritual father, Sal DiBianca. He's the director of Sandhills Teen Challenge. I worked with him for 3 years. I traveled with him church to church. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for this man's example. I was looking to him. I was listening to him. You know, many of my mannerisms are just like him today because it was foundational for me, the first 3 years of ministry for myself. And I traveled with this guy, and I listened to him tell the same story over and over and over again. And I thought about this just a couple of weeks ago. We had a revival service, and Sandhills came for the last night, and they baptized a bunch of their students. And Sal got the mic, and what did he do? He shared his story. And you know what it made me do? It made me cry. I heard the story umpteen thousand times. Same story, different day, but it touched my heart in a different way. And listen, some of you go, man, that happened years ago. It happened. That's what I like about the gospel. You know what I mean? It means good news. Meaning, every time you preach it, something happens. It's not old news. It's the gospel. It can change you today. Come on. It changed me 15 years ago, and it's still changing me, making me more like Jesus Christ. You have a story, and no matter how many times you've told it, you need to keep telling it. Amen? Because there's other people that hadn't heard it. I'm really adamant about this because I want my sons and daughters to know the miracles. Everybody say miracles. No, I don't preach myself. Happy up here. When's the last time you saw a miracle? If you haven't saw one in a while, I want you to go home and I want you to look in the mirror. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. You can even, y'all can take selfies. They may not know what that is, but it's a miracle. Everybody say miracle. We're a bunch of miracles, man. The only reason why we're sitting here today is because we're standing on the shoulders of spiritual giants. Every one of us are products of prayer. Can I get a witness in here today? You're a witness. You're a miracle. You have a story to tell. You know, and it's easy to forget, and that's where we close. That's why I read that last verse. When God has blessed you beyond your wildest dreams. If you don't think you're blessed, get on a plane with me and go to Pakistan in 3 weeks. And you'll come back and you'll cut a lap around this church. And you'll shout because you have been blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Amen. God says, when you have been blessed and are satisfied, be sure not to forget that I was the one who blessed you. Amen. And remember me, but tell your story. Oh, I was sharing this not too long ago, and I had a guy that I graduated high school with come walking up to me in the altar. And he was crying, and he waited till everybody kind of left. And he said, Chance, I've recently given my life to the Lord, but I've never told my story. And you know what? I'm going to tell my family what God has done for me. It's the greatest thing you could ever do, is tell your family. What if we win the whole world, but we lose our family in the process? What good have we gained? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want my whole family in the kingdom of God. First and foremost. I don't know what time is it. What time is it? Y'all okay? Tell your story. The greatest tool that you have in your evangelistic toolbox is your personal testimony. The Apostle Paul was a brilliant orator of Scripture. I mean, he was brilliant. But every time he shared the gospel, he resolved to preach Christ and Him crucified and what He did in my life. You can read the record. The Apostle Paul could have just broke it all down, but he said, you know what? I'm just going to tell you what He means to me. And that's what Moses did on Mount Nebo with the Israelites. That's what the Apostle Paul did, and that's what God is calling us to do. Simply share your story. So here's the challenge this week. I want you to share your story with someone. Everybody, I'm meandering, but I believe in what I'm preaching, should have a 30-second, a 3-minute, and a 30-minute testimony. And it doesn't matter if you're 12. I'm telling you, the secret weapons in the kingdom of God is kids. Nothing will move you like a kid, man. Oh, just melt the heart. Whew. But you got a story. 30 seconds. Lauren, get ready. Tonight. 3 minutes. Or 30 minutes. Amen? Recollect. This is what I've been doing. I've been rending my heart. Because I've been walking with the Lord 15 years. And my book, The God of Second Chances, I'm having to open up the wound. Because I've, you know, B.C., before Christ, I really can't remember that man. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word means something that has never been before. When I was born again, my life changed. When I met Christ, if your life didn't change when you met Christ, you didn't meet the real Christ. You met some figment of the world's imagination. Because when you meet the miracle man, I'm telling you, he'll do a miracle in your life, man. I'm telling you, when I met him, things changed. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard for me to remember who I used to be. Because I don't think about him anymore. I ripped the rearview mirror off the front windshield. I don't look back anymore. I'm looking forward, you know? I didn't leave anything back there. I want to go forward. But when you look, you should highlight the hell that you've been through. Come on. I don't ever want to forget. So you have to open up the wounds and you go, yeah, whew, I forgot when God did that. That was a miracle. I should have died that night. You know, I should have lost my house. I should have lost my spouse. I feel something up here today. You know, there have been moments when the enemy tried to divide and destroy, tried to steal, kill, and destroy you. And it's those moments, man, that gives God the glory. Somebody say, share my story. God has a story. It's called the gospel. We have a story. Number three, and lastly, you have a response to the stories that you hear. The greatest thing that you could ever do is respond to God's word. I think we're going to sing a song this morning with pianoists. If you can get ready, just want to pray for you this morning. Because I don't know about you, I love good preaching. I love good singing. But there's nothing more powerful than a personal testimony, is it not? Oh, because it's relevant. It's new. And I don't have time to tell you, you know, the things that my wife and I have been through. But all I want to say this morning, as we are still standing, somebody say amen. If you can stand up this morning, I want to sing this song. You have a response to the gospel. It's written in red. Repent and be baptized. You know, if you've never given your life to the Lord, today would be a good day. Amen. When God speaks, I like to say it this way, I jump. I want Him to see my overexcitement to serve Him. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to do that, God. This is the God of the whole universe. You know what I'm saying? When He speaks, believe me, He knows what He's doing. And if He's asking you to do something that you don't understand, you can trust Him. So you have a response. There are some people standing here today. God has been asking you to do something. God's been speaking to you. It's time to jump. It's time to do what God's been asking you to do. When you make that first step, see, the miracle is outside the boat. Amen. You'll never see God move. But, you know, oh, if God's going to do it, God's going to do it. No, God will do it when you take the first step. With every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning, God, we stand in Your presence and we're in awe of the goodness and the grace of God in our life. Matter of fact, if we had time to pass the microphone, we would be here for the next 2 weeks. All the stories that You have done just in our life. The book of Acts said that there's not enough books in the world to contain the miracles that Jesus performed while He was on earth, God. The stories are endless. They're infinite. They're vast. God, they're full of victory. And we believe in Your story. We believe in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ right here, Hunt Springs Baptist Church. God, we believe. Somebody say, I believe. I know You do, Lord. We believe in You today. And we believe that our story is not something that we've done, it's something that You have done. You know, our testimonies, when we share them, they can impact the people around us. And so if you're sitting there today and you were to say, Pastor Chance, I want to share my story. I want to respond to God's Word. If that's you, just ask God right now to use you. Just right now, use me this week, God. Use me to reach my family. Use me to reach my friends. God, I'm ready to go in full-time ministry out there on those streets. And God, I thank You for what You're going to do in the coming weeks. You know, all the miracles that happened in the Gospels, man, most of them happen outside the four walls of the church. So, God, we're going to take this gospel, and we're going to take it to where we work, and we're going to take it to where we live. God, I pray that You would use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.